I think back several years ago on an Easter morning, we just finished a sunrise service that I'd gone to, and I came back home and was trying to get Luke ready. He's a little bitty guy. He's a big guy now. We were just noticing yesterday he's taller than me now. And he was a little bit slow about getting ready. Some things change and some things don't. I told y'all it was going to be late today, didn't I? Luke was trying to get ready, and I said, "Son, you got to get dressed. You're still in your boxer shorts." He said, "No, Daddy, these ain't my boxer shorts. These are my Easter shorts." He had his celebration clothes on, didn't he? Many of y'all have your celebration clothes on today. The bright colors of spring. Easter is here, for this is the day of celebration in our faith. And for us to consider, maybe with fresh ears, the festivities, the holiness of resurrection this morning, I want to focus on the story of four individuals to maybe help us open our eyes or receive in our heart a new meaning or an in-depth appreciation for the resurrection and life-giving love of our Lord. The first person I want to talk to you about today, he was deeply offended by the Christian faith. Not only was he offended by the faith, but in fact he disdained Christians. It was their arrogance. These who proclaimed that they had all the answers. And they followed this guy who claimed even to be God, a man on earth, and then he got murdered, so he must not have been God after all, right? This was the thought process of this one until one day when he met Jesus on a road. And his eyes, after they were closed, were open to see him in a way he never had before. His name was Paul. Paul, or Saul, or as we know him today, the Apostle Paul, the writer of the majority of the New Testament. See, he said in our text today that Jennifer shared with us that he was the least of the apostles. He had persecuted the church. He was part of the group that even condoned killing Christians. Now, we don't condone that today, right? And it was this one who was at the depth of betrayal, desertion, and abuse of the faith that God called to be the voice of the church for all people. You see, friends, that's the power of the resurrection. In Christ Jesus, not only is death conquered forever, but forgiveness is proclaimed to all. If Paul, the persecutor of the church, could be transformed and be the actual evangelist of faith for all people, then what can God do for us and with us through His grace? There is forgiveness on resurrection morning. She was mentally, emotionally, and spiritually broken. Have you ever met anyone like that? So down on her luck and outcast by those around her, that she was overlooked, unworthy of acceptance, and to be a part of even common society. Some people even thought she was simply crazy. She was demon-possessed. She felt that there was no hope even in her faith until one day when she met Jesus. And through his life-giving love, through his acceptance and transformation, she became the one we know today as Mary Magdalene. As some scholars describe her, the apostle to the apostles. In this first century world, where women couldn't even stand up and be accounted in a legal proceeding, they couldn't vote, they had no voice or no position, she was the very first one Jesus said, go and proclaim the resurrection. The first evangelist of Easter morning. This one who'd been outcast, who was damaged goods, who was mentally, emotionally, and spiritually broken in Jesus Christ, she found restoration. Friends, on resurrection morning, there is healing. The God of grace comes to us in our brokenness. You know, as I drove in this morning, I saw that billboard, Region Ford's billboard. Some of you may have seen it. It said 1 in 5 people experience some form of mental illness in their life. Depression, brokenness, isolation. Friends, the God of life comes to us and brings healing. His name was Clive. He'd been baptized in the faith as a young person. But Clive was a brilliant intellect. And after he went off to university, he grew away from the faith and ultimately became a professed atheist. For in his intellectualism, he couldn't make sense of God in a broken world. He needed facts. He was a researcher. He was a professor. He needed to be proven to him that God was real, much less Jesus Christ as the Savior. But over time, Clive was influenced by other people who taught with him at Oxford University in England. One being J.R.R. Tolkien, what is it he wrote? Something about the Twin Towers, Lord of the Rings. Maybe you've heard of that. And Clive, through seeing Jesus in the lives of others, found his own faith renewed. You see, here's how he deduced that Jesus must be real. It was 3 simple steps. He said, he's either truly God, as he says, or he's a liar, or he's absolutely crazy. And he said, there's nothing in the writings, in the understanding of the faith of the people that I see that prove that he was lying. And he certainly seemed sane. And in seeing the love of people's lives who were impacted by him, he said he truly must be God's son and our Savior. Clive, better known as C.S. Lewis, the writer of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Aslan in his victorious reign, symbolic of Jesus Christ, our Savior. See, in that story, we hear and we see that death is conquered forever through Jesus Christ. Friends, in Christ, not only is there forgiveness, not only is there healing in the spirit of Mary Magdalene, but in Christ, there is death to death forever. In Christ, there's life. You see, that's what inspired Paul in our first reading today. To see and to understand that everything he died for became life when he was resurrected. It proclaimed that death could not hold him. Death had been defeated. In Christ, There is life, love, and joy for all who trust in Him. That's the gift of our Savior. Death could not hold Him, as we heard sang about this morning. Because He lives, we can face, friends, whatever this broken world gives us. Look, that's not preacher talk. That's not me standing before you just saying what I think you should hear today, or you think I should say. That's from a guy who's lived in his own brokenness, who's gone through his own peril, who's needed his own forgiveness and still needs it, who needed his own healing and wholeness, who had his own questions of the very existence of God. Can we be real on Easter morning? And in Him, I found life. Not simple existence, but life more abundantly in Jesus Christ. Friends, taste and see. Give God a chance on this Easter day. If you've never embraced life with Christ, or you've not embraced it in a long time, then renew or begin that journey today. As we celebrate the gift of infant baptism today, pray that prayer that these parents are going to pray as they say those solemn vows of reaffirming their faith, the faith they're going to raise their daughter in. What if you begin your journey by reciting those in your heart today? Are renewing that journey. It's that simple. It's simply trusting in Christ to do what we can't do. And finally today, I've talked about ancient people of the faith, and I've talked about more recent. And another model of great accomplishment in our world today that many of us are familiar with is a person named Elon Musk, right? One of the most successful, wealthiest persons in the entire world. I think he's worth about $16 billion now. Musk is known for also working some 16 hours a day at times. His energy is unbelievable. His commitment to going to Mars, to establishing colony and life there, to accomplishing things that have never been accomplished before. He's driven with passion and intellect that the world has hardly seen before. But many aren't aware that his upbringing was quite different. Elon Musk was bullied as a child. He was picked on. He was beaten so badly in high school once, they didn't know if he would survive. And his home life wasn't much better. He said it was continuously horrible. And at the age of 10, he got his first computer, that Commodore 1020. And there was a coding system to be able to do programming that was supposed to take the average person 6 months to figure out. Musk figured it out in 3 nights, staying awake all night. The question arises, would Elon Musk be the person he is today had he not gone through the challenges of his childhood? Well, maybe so. Maybe not. But the question before all of us, right, is what do we do with the challenges and adversities that we face, right? Do they destroy us? Or do they define us? Do we experience going through the hardships of life, the very thing to harden us like a sword that's been through the fire? That's the choice before us all, right? What do we do with the adversities that we face? Elon Musk chose to use them for good. Here's the thing. Here's the thing I want to leave you with today. For some people who wrestle with our faith as Paul, the apostle, once did, they can't get back the fact past the fact that there is suffering in this world. Why would a God, loving that you Christians proclaim, allow devastation, brokenness, harm an evil, hate-filled world to exist. In other words, why would anybody go through things like Elon Musk did? I can wrestle that question too if I don't know the end of the story. What if this? What if our existence on this earth isn't the final story? What if heaven truly is real in every challenge and adversity that we go through in this life is simply one more step of preparing us for a joy and a love that will never end? Friends, could it be that our God is that good and gracious? That our God knows that this earth is not our home? That yes, there is devastation. There is mental and emotional brokenness like Mary Magdalene. There is times of betrayal like Paul. There is persecution and intellectual questions. But friends, this earth is preparing us for an eternal glory beyond what we can imagine. Because He lives, we live too. For life, love, and joy never ends in our Savior. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh God, we bow in Your presence on this holy day, grateful that in You there is life, grateful that You tasted death for all of us, that we may be restored and renewed through Your grace forever. We celebrate this holy day Your forgiveness of our sins, Your restoration and healing from our brokenness individually and the brokenness of our world. God, we ask that as we celebrate life in You, that we be light and love to the world around us. We pray for Your church, not just this congregation, but wherever Your gospel is practiced and proclaimed, will You inspire and empower Your people in ministry. We pray for our nation. We ask for healing in our broken land. We pray for our president, our Congress, Senate, the Supreme Court. We lift up our military, those who protect our freedom. We pray for our state, county, and city governing bodies, for all who hold authority and power of others. God, will You guide them in the spirit of Micah to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly in Your way. We pray for the least, the last, and the lost, the sick and the hurting that we've mentioned this day, these that are on our prayer list, and the names that are unspoken. Will You, O God, bring miracles of grace to pass in their life? We pray for each other right now, for everyone worshiping in this sanctuary and virtually today. We lift them up, praying for whatever their hearts desire, if those can be in accordance with Your holy need for their life. We open the floodgates of heaven, pour forth miracles of grace, healing and wholeness, whether the illness be physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, or relational. You are the physician, the restorer of us all. God, we pray for ourselves, our friends and family, those You've entrusted us to most of all. We pray for those we're closest to and those we are furthest from, perhaps even our enemies. And now, God, with the confidence of being Your children, we join our voices as one and say in prayer the words You taught us. Praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.